Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Oh, I can't believe it. It's the first SmackDown post-WrestleMania 40. They told me it's a brand new chapter, a brand new era, and they'll say it plenty of times. We're going to go through it. Wrestling Inc. After Show for Friday, April 12th, 2024. Hello, everyone. My name is Hobo Boys. I'll be here with you, and as always, I'm not alone. To my immediate left or right, depending on the screen you're looking at, you, please welcome to the show, the visionary, the luminary, the dignitary, Matt Kuhn. How's it going, sir?
I'm doing great. It's a great day to be here, and I just wanted to have a group of people represented in wrestling podcasts you don't often see, which is old fat white guys. So we're finally getting in there, people. We're finally getting in.
What would be the flag for an old fat white guy? Like what would that look like? Let me know in the comments below.
Like a couch, maybe?
Hell yeah. And I'm also being joined by the one reading was at Raw Magazine 1997, 98. Please welcome George Rosen.
September, October 96. You said you were like, oh, you're not reading Raw Magazine? So yes, I am now reading the Raw Magazine because you pointed it out, Flobo Boys.
Hey, I'm sorry. The Vince Russo era on Raw Magazine was pristine. You know what I'm saying? But gotta say, we're streaming live on that Facebook, that YouTube, that Twitch, and or X. And please, if you have a question or comment in the chat, we'll definitely get around to it today. It's kind of an open Friday, it being the first WrestleMania post-WrestleMania. But before we get to talk about SmackDown today, let's talk about WrestleMania itself. Now, Matt, we're talking about this before we went live. This one, they told us it was the biggest of all time. Did it feel that way to you?
It really did, because I think it was just the maximized version of your two-day WrestleMania. You know, we've had big ones. 38, of course, was fantastic. But this one, man, like the first one was it was good. It wasn't as just obviously, you know, awesome as the second one was, because it really set the table great. It was, I don't regret a minute of watching.
The table. And George, thoughts about WrestleMania 40 this weekend?
A lot of people say it definitely felt different. I think those are all just things that people are saying because other people are saying. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying there was definitely a lot of things that we saw that it really did feel like a new era in terms of the presentation. There wasn't the big fireworks pageantry in the beginning, which I personally was not a fan of, but I'm not complaining about it. But I feel like there's a lot more emphasis on the wrestlers now when it comes to these kind of spectacles. It's a combination of the brand and the wrestlers, which I really like. But overall, top three of all time, that main event, I watched the main event, or at least the last 5 minutes of it, around 100 times since then. And I still have yet to watch it with a dry eye.
Okay, I'm with you with that one. Just kind of a quick question before we get into our predictions or the result of our predictions. The WrestleMania started off with the national anthem, not America the Beautiful. And to me, that was the, oh yeah, it's all a new chapter. Obviously, it's deliberate, but the other stuff, the production stuff, Matt, let me ask you this question. Besides the actual matches, did it really feel different, or were we just being told it's a different era?
It felt different for what George said, you know, but also, like, every match had a story, every match had a reason. And also the pacing of the show, whether it was perceived pacing or actual pacing, doesn't really matter, right? Same thing. But I am used to just, especially when you're there, just dying a slow death in between every match, you know?
And, slow every match? You're just like, ugh.
Because it's like 20 minutes long, right? They didn't recap the entire history of the feuds like they usually do at WrestleMania. It was a better paced show, and it was well done.
Well done it is.
Okay. It's crazy because I just want to add one more thing that back in 95, we were introduced to a pay-per-view called In Your House, right? It was 2 hours long. It was a lesser price. Just obviously a lot more affordable, just, you know, a 2-hour presentation. And we would see on average around 6 matches per show. So it's crazy to me that, and you said it was a little bit more spread out. We saw 6 matches on night 2, and it was a 4-hour show. So that just goes to show just how much more meaning they're putting into everything, whether it's a build up, whether it's a matchup. Obviously, they're taking their time a lot more with a lot of things, which I think gives more of a spotlight to the wrestlers, if anything.
Yeah, not the point of what you just said, but I love that they were experimenting with that recently. Well, not recently, a couple, like I say, 5-6 years ago with Smackville and Starrcade. Those 2-hour, 1.5-hour events, they'd be kind of a cool thing. But it did feel Sunday overperformed for me. Saturday wasn't bad, but going into WrestleMania, I was like, oh man, Saturday is stacked, Sunday's okay. But it felt like at the end of it was flip flop, right?
Well, the kids know that I work with. I was just telling you off air, I teach music. They know when we put a set together of music, you know, the first one's got to be a banger, and it's got to be, you know, it's a home run no matter what. It's hard to mess up. And the last song has got to be your best song. And other than that, the middle part, people don't generally remember a whole bunch of that. So there was good stuff in the middle, but the beginning and the end of that WrestleMania, arguably the best opening and closing segments ever in the history of WrestleMania on the same night, made it memorable.
So let me ask you this, Matt. I was going through my prediction cards, and frankly, I should not be a psychic because I was about 45% of the winners this weekend. How did you fare between both nights, especially the undercard as well?
About the same, about 50%, you know, and how awesome is that? You know, like, how great is that? That were these, you know, supposedly knowledgeable, probably cynical commentators on wrestling, and we want to look right, we want to look smart, we're not picking to be wrong, we want to look smart next to each other and against everybody and every fan. But man, Sami Zayn, I mean, you could just go down the list of surprises. Jey Uso, we all call those wrong, you know, right? Like, and so, and none of us are disappointed by it either, so another hurrah for Triple H.
Yeah, George, same question. Anything stick out for you? Was your prediction list? I guess it was better than mine, but I mean, any surprises?
A little bit on the Usos. Obviously, we'll get into it later. Obviously, knowing what I know now, the right person won in regard to that matchup. But
what do you mean, George?
Well, I was very much so. We'll get into it. Well, I was very much surprised with the Sami and Gunther. Not only, and I totally expected that was going to be a great match. I was not expecting the move that he hit before the Helluva kick. That was a nice little throwback to his Ring of Honor PWG days, his alter ego. You know, I know.
Do we talk about PWG? I feel like people don't talk about PWG enough anymore.
I mean, I live in LA, so I mean that's what comes to mind first because that's where I first saw
an armory.
At the armory at the Jewish Community Center out in like Los Feliz or whatever. Mm-hmm. But just overall, like, yeah, you know, I was a little surprised at the LWO Legado match. If anything, that kind of shocked me. I thought we would see a lot more turns, maybe like a red herring. Maybe it would have been maybe Andrade that took out Dragon Lee, things like that. Obviously, that's still the build is going to come. Obviously, they're going to play it out a little bit. You know, that was maybe more so of the Eagles coming in and kind of saying hello to the Philadelphia faithful. But just overall, I mean, it's one of those things where I like to be shocked. I like to be like, oh, I got that one wrong, but man, they do it way better than I had in my head. But when it came to the main event, like, I was happy to be right. That was one of those things, like I mentioned last week, a little predictable on my end because I predicted Cody winning, but man, like in the best way possible. Like that even when I thought the moment was perfect, I'm gonna go on and on and ramble. Even when I thought the moment was perfect,
all right, baby.
And it could not have gotten better. Then you hear Samantha Irvin announcing him, and I'm like, oh my god, like I just when I thought it couldn't get more perfect, it did. So yeah, just like I said, I watch it hundreds of times, or maybe a little bit less, and every single time it still gets to me from the three count to him handing the belt to Mama Rhodes, just everything. Man, I cannot say enough great things. Probably maybe top three main event WrestleMania of all time.
My biggest surprise is Bailey. I thought she was going to.
I agree.
But I would say the moment where I broke down, because you know I'm not saying I'm against crying in wrestling. I just don't do it. Like I'm not here to brag. I don't cry. That's not cool. You can cry if you want to. Even Jesus wept. But I think when Cody broke down and kissed Brandy in the ring, I was like, Oh man, that guy. That was like 2 years in the making. Oh, the pathos, the drama. This should be in a Fast and Furious film. That's how good it was.
I will say it's not even a gripe or criticism. I often criticize AEW for the same thing. I feel like AEW is very focused on making the people happy in some ways, you know, like the hometown hero always has to win. You know, it kind of becomes a little predictable at times. So it's his first Mania fully in charge. So I'll give him that, but I'm hoping that, because we saw a lot of baby faces win, practically almost every baby face won. Sammy won, Bailey won, Cody won. You know, I know the world title is kind of, you know, iffy when it comes to that. But I'm just hoping that it's not always going to be a baby face winning in these big kind of spotlights. Every now and then, I kind of want to see some real heat. Just kind of people kind of, you know, like I said, I want to see an Infinity War every now and then, where the villain, you know, comes ahead on some of these big stages. So again, my own, not even a gripe, because obviously I think everything was great, but you know, we'll see how 41 goes.
40, and, you know, in fairness, from what I see, that is something they're probably thinking about. They probably are already talking about it. They're like, a lot of baby faces went over. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. Let's do that. This is not as oblivious a leadership in WWE as we've seen in years past. This is the very opposite. So I have faith that they're going to realize that. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe best of all time. I'm still not a purist, but I still separate the two nights from the one night Manias, and I have my list. I do love 35 as a New Yorker myself, but I did get the chance to visit 38, 39, and 26 is up there for me because I was there for Street Fighter's career. Not to flex, just saying the facts. WrestleMania 40, go back and check it out if you haven't already. 41 hasn't been announced yet, but there are rumors about having it in Minnesota. You haven't heard it from me. Before we get into SmackDown today, we got some news. George Hermosa, what's going on at the newswire?
As far as the news goes, it seems like wrestlers are not holding back on the footage that was shown on Wednesday with an all-in altercation footage.
Boo.
What that means, I don't know. I mean, a lot of it's kind of like hearsay. We haven't really seen anybody on the current roster for WWE and AEW really publicly say anything. Obviously, there's a lot of, FTR came out on Dynamite and kind of mentioned a couple things, but it was just kind of, you can argue it was just for the promo, but nobody kind of mentioned anything on Twitter. The closest thing was probably we saw Grayson Waller say something. I think, and again, we all have our own comments on whether or not they should have aired it. I mean, I don't want to
bore What's yours? With that.
I mean, they shouldn't have aired it, but if you're going to sit there and comment on it, I like that Grayson Waller's having fun with it. I like that Dijak is having fun with it. Obviously Grayson Waller put later today, I'm going to share exclusive security camera footage of myself and Theory beating up the entire WWE locker room backstage. It's time the world knows how tough the SmackDown champions are. You know, we have Dijak commenting saying it's true. I saw it. There was real glass everywhere. You know, if have fun with it, but you know, a lot of these, like, oh, Fightful says that. And again, I love Fightful. I love, you know, all this stuff. But it's like Fightful says, like, oh, you know, some people weren't happy with it. Some people weren't. Unless they name names, I think this kind of news headline doesn't really mean much. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Not sure what you guys think, but you know.
I'm going to ask Matt Kuhn now because you're the elder statesman, man. You have a lot more knowledge than I do. This footage was announced days in advance. And so it was kind of wrapped around this whole episode of Dynamite. Came at the 9 o'clock hour. So it was definitely deliberate. What was going through your mind when you saw it?
What a terrible, terrible idea. you know, the night it was announced, that was WrestleMania night, right?
It was announced after WrestleMania. Saturday. Yeah.
And I just get on Twitter and I go, guys, no, this is a bad idea. And, you know, there's so many bad faith critics of AEW out there that when somebody says, hey, this is a bad idea by AEW, people immediately think you're piling on them. But I'm like, you know, I talk to people in the company and I go, this is bad. No one listens to me because, you know, I'm a guitar teacher and know nothing about wrestling. But still, I'm like, this is going to be bad. Like, and so basically what I've heard is what most people have heard, which is Tony Khan was very bullish on doing this. This is a Tony Khan deal. You know, whether or not it was because of the Punk interview, I can't say that for sure. But I will say that There was a lot of soft no's, like soft disagreements with Tony Khan on doing this, and just a couple soft yeses. No one was like gung-ho about it, but Tony Khan, this was his call. It's his company, and it was a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's hard to see what the intent was without Tony Khan coming out and saying it himself, but it definitely sounded like it was unnecessary.
Right? And I do want to add one thing, is as of now, Dynasty is 9 days away. Obviously, 2 days ago is 11 days away. We're building this match with Will Ospreay and Danielson as the best wrestling match that's ever going to happen, right? But what's everybody talking about? Oh, did you hear what Ospreay said about Triple H?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Like, come on, guys. Like, you know, and then you have like Bucks and FTR, which at one point was a dream match, and they've never disappointed when it comes to having those matches. What's everybody talking about? They ain't talking about that match that's coming up. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of like, what are you guys doing? Like, do you guys want to be, I don't want to say petty, but do you guys want to like bring that up? Or do you guys want to focus on what you have ahead? Again, right. I don't know anything. I don't know if this is going to result in more or less buy rates. I'm sure they're going to sit there and celebrate whatever buy rates they get. And rightfully so. You know, I just want to see them focus on the roster that they have in front of them.
You know, I totally agree with that. I think, like, just thinking about why you would put that out there, the only thing I come up with is the same guy who felt like his life was threatened by being lunged at the way he was, which some of us might have felt that way. I wouldn't have felt that way. But that same guy might have a perspective where that footage made CM Punk look worse to most people than it actually did. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy who's like, oh my God, you know, he's, you know, that's the same guy. So that might've been what happened.
I was hoping and praying it was a troll or swerve, but it wasn't, because the two people who were the stars of that video, one doesn't work with the company and the other one is on sabbatical on loan to New Japan. So it's like, well, what's the thing? And so the stretch of taking the footage to making an FTR Young Bucks beat, which is weird because they never needed it to sell a match, was kind of interesting. But again, I'm not here to pick sides. I'm just here to condemn everybody.
I want you to pick sides, Flobo.
I'll pick a side right now. It's a wrestling show. And it's a wrestling show where you tell me wrestling is the focus. What is that then? That wasn't a match.
You know, the video is kind of amazing though, right? There's so many characters going on. You know, like even my buddy Dax, you can see his bald head at the end just kind of circling the thing, you know? You got Samoa Joe, you got Jungle Boy, you got Chris Hero. Where did he come from? Chris Hero? You got Tony Khan's hand and part of his face. It's an amazing piece of footage, really, but just a really bad idea.
And with no audio, that footage really means nothing. Like, everybody's making such a big deal out of a footage that has zero audio. You can't hear anything at all. So it's like, what's the point?
Yeah. Well,
Perry could have been talking about his mama. You know what I'm saying? We don't know.
Imagine. Yo, mama's so fat. Oh, God. That's not what happened. That's a reenactment. George, what else is going on in the news this week?
What else is a backstage report on the WWE status of stars Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch? Obviously, they just had huge nights at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins obviously had a lot of cool things happen to him, whether or not he was on the losing end or whether or not it was part of that story that they were telling in the main event. But it's being reported by Observer that they are both going to go on a hiatus. Rollins for about 4 weeks, approximately, and Becky Lynch hasn't really been known for how long. she's going to be on hiatus, but it is being reported that their contracts both expire in about 2 months. So there's a lot of, you know, word around the street is Becky Lynch. She's the one that kind of mentioned on the interview that her contract does expire in 2 months. The Seth Rollins thing, that kind of surprised me a little bit. But, you know, we'll see how everything goes. I mean, they just wrestled like 5-6 days ago. So the fact that they've been off TV for that long, like, is, you know, not really a big story. But, you know, if we don't see them in the near future, then I know, like, hey, they're taking a break. Rightfully so. Those guys, especially Seth and Becky, for the most part, they've been going full-time, balls to the wall. They're both parents of the same child. So, honestly, like, if they need to take time to recompress, to celebrate everything they've done, by all means, they deserved it.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Break time for everybody. Right, Matt?
You know, it's strange if you think about it. There's a lot of funny contract stuff going on everywhere right now. You know, like Drew and these two. And you know, we're all on board with the on-air product. But we also don't forget that this is a very, very vicious, at times, company that can just let people go and maybe value certain wrestlers more than others and value their airtime they give certain wrestlers. So, you know, I would think you would want these two locked up. Or maybe they just feel that at this point in time, Tony Khan is not the threat he once was because he's happy with what he's got.
Oof, that'd be like the sign of the times if there ever was one. Well, let's get into SmackDown now because this is the first SmackDown post-WrestleMania. I got to say this. Look, I love Samantha Irvin, but Mike Rome needs some flowers too. The man has put years on it. He was in the game. Mike Rome is a fantastic staple of Raw, now currently on SmackDown. You saw him put a little extra stank on some of the intros today. Give Mike Rome his flowers. I'm just putting it out there. But today's episode of SmackDown starts off with Cody Rhodes with a You Deserve It chant. And the way Cody pronounced Leon Francois, he's going to go over there and defend that championship. And as we know about who's going to take him on later on, I like this. What I don't like is that new set they're using. But I do like the fact that Cody came out with the championship, feeling like $1 million. Sings new era. Sings new chapter. George, walk me through this. Are you on Team Cody?
I'm on Team Cody. I'm not going to lie. And this is the irony of pro wrestling and call me a show, whatever the hell you want to call me. I really don't care. I completely marked out when he said, and I quote, "Who the hell told you it was open mic night?" Because we all remember Brandy saying that in AEW and her, I don't know. I didn't mind it, but obviously that was a promo that a lot of people didn't like. But I totally popped it when Cody said, in referring to The Rock on Monday Night Raw. But yeah, I mean, if rightfully so, like he's the guy, he's the guy. He's the guy that's the face of the company now. He opened up Raw. He's opened up SmackDown. It's kind of showing everybody, hey, here's our guy. He's going to lead us into the new era. So by all means, and I like that he kind of, now that it's been a few days since Mania and Raw, he can sit there and say, well, I know people are going to be gunning for me. So I'm not surprised.
Matt, they say that when someone becomes champion, there is a bit of an afterglow, and plus or minus 6 weeks, the crowd begins to turn and say they're bored. What's the over under on this one? Are you over or under Cody?
Cody, it's hard to deny. He's going to work it, and no matter what happens, he's going to do his absolute best. Couple things, you know, number one is I don't mind gloaty Cody, you know, for a week, you know.
Hashtag.
I think gloaty Cody is, he deserves it, and it's kind of to be expected. It's natural, but we still need hungry Cody. We need him hungry for something, and that needs to come across. The other thing is, have we learned nothing from the Daniel Bryan Kane fiasco? You know, like... As soon as Cody wins it, he needs to get attacked by 7 giant people or something. You know what I'm saying? He needs a bad
guy. Not even wrestlers, like giant just people.
Giant people. Right away. You got to have that feud right away.
Right.
Not necessarily what's going to happen that we're going to talk about later, which is, okay, good challenger, but now there's something going on. Not, your challenger's Kane, you know?
Right, absolutely. I think that was like the level one challenge after he became a champion at certain times. Like, this Monday night, it's you and Kane. And poor Glenn Jacobs, who will get out there and try himself out and get defeated. So let's skip on this.
Honestly, we don't talk about Glenn Jacobs here.
Okay, fair enough. But let's talk about what Matt was referring to. You're going to have six men that are gunning for a chance to take on Cody Rhodes at Backlash Leon Francois, or two series of triple threat matches. And our first triple threat match here was one field. Bobby Lashley, Santos Escobar, and LA Knight. And LA Knight gets the win here. And I'm happy for this for two different reasons. One, LA Knight still has that organic swell of LA Knight out that everyone says. And two, this finally means that the Street Profits and Lashley may have a new challenger in Legado del Fantasma, George Hermosa. LA Knight can't stop him, moving on to battle Cody, and also we have a new tag team feud in the midst.
Well, he's moving on to battle AJ Styles next week. Oh, we'll and then there. the winner of that is going to face
spoiler
Cody. Well, I mean, you know, I don't want people thinking that's going to be LA Knight and Cody at Parents Francois. But yeah, I mean, this was a fun match. I mean, honestly, I was thinking about today too. I think how underutilized Bobby Lashley is. I think somebody mentioned that he was kind of the rare misses in the Triple H era so far. Because obviously, Bobby's got all the talent in the world. I like that he didn't take the pin on this one, even though I would have liked to have seen him win. I think Cody and Bobby would have been a fire first feud for Cody Rhodes, and really talking about, you know, having to slay the monster.
Crowd was into when he mentioned Bobby, though. Cody was like, Bobby Lashley?
Yeah,
Bobby Lashley.
I think he's going to have his just due in about a year or two, maybe even less. The draft will probably change everything. He might be the world heavyweight champion in about 2-3 months. But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see the rematch too next week, and we'll get into it a little bit later. But yeah, this match was fun, and I like that it's set up. What's their team name again? Lashley and Profits. Lashley.
So officially, it's Lashley and the Street Profits. Unofficially, they're known as the Pride. So
the Pride, okay.
Whatever you like, it's solely.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm a big sucker for six man tags. I like that Philly Street Fight from Mania with.
I'm
with
glad you Pride. Did.
You didn't like it.
I just don't get into Final Testament. Like, I don't want to see them win or lose. I just want them to be.
But did you like to see the Pride?
No, but at least I know what the Pride's about. Because if I don't know what Bobby Lashley, I'm sorry, Matt, I'll get to you. At least if I don't know what the Bobby Lashley and Street Profits are doing right now, at least I know them long enough to infer what they'll be into. The Final Testament has never told me what they wanted, so I don't know if they should win or not win, if Killmonger was right. I'm always confused when they come out.
Fair enough.
Yeah, in wrestling, the dream is to be able to infer what they might be into.
Hey.
you know, as far as this goes, you know, naming the six guys and the three-man matches, it's a formula that's been working. But to me, it's a little formulaic for the gravity of the Cody Rhodes win. You know, like, the Cody Rhodes win was this big event, and then, like, it's like back to business as usual. And they need to keep it special and make it special. And, again, these are all great competitors, but a little formulaic for how, you know, intense things are right now.
What would you like? Just having AJ attack him? If you can't get seven giants, what would
Braun,
you
know, Braun Breaker, let's go for it. You know, let's what, you know, the first little chance Braun has to get the title and Cody gives him his first loss, and, you know, or what, something like that. Something big and something we talk about and something that we want to see if our little kids are wondering if Cody Rhodes is going to lose the title. That's what we need, whoever that is.
I like that. And I do think that we get more gravity of what Cody has in store for him. But let's talk about the tag team side. Santos Escobar, Legado del Fantasma, they've been dealing with some stuff with the LWO. Dragon Lee was attacked, and then now it's a mystery. I thought it was kind of obvious it was Santos, but it wasn't. Okay, Matt, we talked about this before, having people that look very similar be stuck in feuds. I feel like Santos Escobar and Legado and LWO have been like fights since the days of yore. When's it going to end, man?
It is never going to end. This is going to go down. You know, it's like we said before, it's just a way that wrestling sees things sometimes. Let's break them away. I'd love if we could see these groups away from each other. I'm no longer interested in this feud, but I guess we have to see the Carlito turn happen. But also,
Carlito!
Yeah, and also we're just going to have some good matches. So it's not the most offensive thing in the world.
Sure. So I guess at the end of the day, it is a wrestling company. George, man, will Santos ever get the win and get away from LWO? Or do you think LWO will get their final karmic revenge?
I think, I mean, obviously, they're scheduled for a feud with the Pride. But I'm going to say something, and I'm apologize again if I ramble. I'm trying to make a point here. One of my favorite movies of all time, because it was so original, so unique, it was just something that I never really saw coming, is Scream. Because, spoiler alert, nobody ever thought it was going to be two killers. Even Scream 2, we were like, they're not going to do it again, and they did it again. So when you know, Legato said, you know, it wasn't us that attacked Dragon Lee, I want to see that at some point incorporated into wrestling. I don't think we've ever seen that, where we have like two attackers, where it's like you have, well, was it Carlito? Maybe it wasn't Carlito this time, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be Carlito next time. So I want to see something, maybe like, maybe wishful thinking, or I don't know if I'm reaching out too much, maybe Primo, maybe Epico, something like that. I'm a big fan of trios. I don't think we ever really saw the three of them get together as far as, you know, maybe Primo, Epico, and Carlito going up against Rey and the other guys at LWO. And I think that creates another trio that everybody seems to like nowadays. But I think there's a lot of pillars to this story. I think a lot of people forget that the WWE is more than just a bloodline. Everybody kind of said that that was the best story, but going back to last year, what got lost is that story between Bray and Dominic that I think was really, really well done leading up to Mania. And I think this is going to be no different. We're going to see a lot of twists and turns. I do think that Rey is kind of, you know, wrong in a lot of ways. You know, he should have picked Carlito as his tag team partner. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm actually excited to see what's coming up for this feud. I do think we're going to see a lot of cool things coming up for the LWO Legata Pride saga that's going on.
Pride saga it is, but speaking about the saga, I thought the Bloodline saga would be over, and it wasn't, because Solo Sikoa's walking over to the backstage, and Paul Heyman goes, hey, don't get mad, your name's in the door, you gotta make some changes. And so, there is a bit of an altercation in the ring today. George, walk me through this. Jimmy Uso, we thought was going to win WrestleMania, didn't, got the L. Looks like he is on the way out, and someone else may be on the way in? Question mark?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it because it really solidified that Solo is more than just like a henchman. He's really kind of coming into his own in such a short amount of time. And by the time being SmackDown, I feel like this was the Solo Sikoa show. I feel like he was the MVP. And I'm really excited to see what we're going to see with Solo Sikoa, and kind of now we have a new layer of coming up. Where's Paul Heyman landing? He went to go check on Jimmy. We'll get to that in a second. But I can't say enough great things about the Solo Sikoa, Jimmy Uso.
He's been the MVP forever, though. Every time a woman can't wrestle or is not in the office, Solo is the main eventer. He represents.
But he was just a background guy. He was just kind of doing what his tribal chief was saying. And I like that they were saying, like, you know, orders of the tribal chief. Now that Roman doesn't have the championship, who is the tribal chief?
Yeah, well, that question gets kind of complicated there, Matt, because we have Tama Tonga showing up. And, you know, I'm not to compare it, because I don't want to compare WWE to AEW. I have to for this particular thing. On AEW Dynamite this past Wednesday, we had a debut with a professional wrestler that made her cut her teeth in Japan. And I felt that I was out of sorts. I didn't really know where they're oriented. But I felt like WWE here pretty much spoon-fed you who Tama Tonga was if you never saw him before. Talking about storytelling. Now, Jimmy probably is having a lot of pain. He got his ass kicked tonight. But I'm actually excited that Tama Tonga showed up. Matt, you think so? What say you?
Yeah, man, how great did Tama Tonga look, too? Like, he really did some sit-ups and some push-ups since the last time we've seen him. He's a great wrestler. And you know, I'm not sure if Solo's ready yet for this. It seems a little thin to me right now. But I also see the potential of maybe Tama Tonga. You know, He came off screen a lot stronger than I thought he would. Like, he looks like he's going to be a keeper, and he might be in contention for what Solo's going for, or maybe the Rock's behind the scenes. Yeah. But what I do know is that I think after the Jimmy and Jay match, they're like, you know, let's go ahead and get these guys back together. And yeah, I think we saw the first step in that.
Is Roman still the tribal chief, you think, as a follow-up?
I acknowledge Roman Reigns as the tribal chief, yeah. Yeah.
He's the tribal chief, but he's whose tribal chief?
Go on.
No, I'm just saying, like he keep, because again, they keep saying tribal chief. So, like, is he still Paul Heyman's tribal chief? I think so. But is he right. Solo's tribal chief? Is he Thomas' tribal chief? And going back to what you were saying, they did reference you know, obviously it's introduced him as Tama Tonga, the son of Haku. Right. Has it ever been kind of mentioned how Haku fits into the family? I know I don't think he even showed up on the big tree at Vegas, did he?
No, but I'm going to give them a bit of rope on there because you're really introducing this, like, the splinter, right? So, yeah, it comes up today. Son of Haku. I know who Haku is. How does he fit in? But I'm with you, George. They have about 9 days, or I'll give them 2 weeks, to explain that link to make that make sense.
Well, here's a couple links. Like, you know, in driving during StarCast Vegas, I got to drive Rikishi and Tonga Kid. And they said, hey, we're going to wait for our cousins, see if our cousins want to come. And they were talking about Haku and his kid. And so they're not by blood.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At all, but they are family because the Tonga Kid used to tag team with Haku. They were the Islanders, you know. And Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu, who is the Tonga Kid's kid, are about to debut. People are going to freak out when they see him. It's like the two sons of a legendary WWE tag team. And that's, I think, the connection.
It's going to be a swerve when Jacob is on NXT. I just told him, I'm kidding.
That's going to...
When they see him, man. He is awesome.
I'm really, really excited and curious myself to see how they're going to introduce, especially with the... I really like how they introduced Tama Tonga. And now, obviously, you have Jimmy, who's... Is he going to be babyface? Is he going to fall in place? Is he going to sit there and kind of be like, all right, yes, you know, whatever you guys want to do. Is he going to be like a little... I don't want to say the B word, is it going to be like, you know, just kind of like somebody like their servant in some ways? Is he going to go to Raw? Is he going to, you know, there's so many questions coming out of this, but they're all in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bloodline, man.
Bloodline's everlasting. I thought it would pretty much be the end and the tribe was scattered. Like, that's how I guess wrestling used to be, where you beat the main guy, everyone would like will disappear like level one bosses. But I like this little extension. George,
I do like the comment that Manish Malu said, where he said Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, and Sola are going to be in the Rock's bloodline. And then maybe you're going to have Roman, the Usos, their bloodline. And maybe there's going to be this big bloodline civil war that's going to lead up.
That just reeks of Wolfpack in Hollywood.
No, that's I don't know, man. Like, I just, it just, but if anybody's going to do it right, you know, it's going to be the WWE.
And, maybe.
And Wolfpack in Hollywood was a slam dunk, but if you did it, you know, in any kind of way that made sense, you know, like it was cool for a moment and they could have done something, but it was just booked so horribly. So yeah. I see it being a thing. I'm not sure if The Rock is more interested in that or more interested in Cody Rhodes right now, though, in real life and in storyline.
Yeah, The Rock has to go away. I was like, oh, dang, okay. All right, Rock, please don't go. We got to move on for one of the more confounding matches that I came across in a while. Cameron Grimes was featured on SmackDown after being called up about 6 months ago. I still think that Cameron Grimes was in the storyline that saved the pandemic for NXT, that million-dollar storyline with Ted DiBiase. And now we get the new look Bron Breakker, who was totally in his rock and wrestling bag. New theme music, really bright light tights. Okay. What we saw was an actual quick match. It was pretty much a squash if you ever saw one. But Bron Breakker's new character piece gives me a bit of pause. Matt, walk me through this. We all know Bron Breakker has tools. He is a part of his own bloodline. But what do you think about his new interpretation of the pup-faced gremlin?
He's fine. You know, it's nothing's going to diminish his growth or his ascension in stardom in WWE. The music is it's bad, man.
It's 80s.
It's terrible. I mean, I do have the song. I wrote the song for FTR. That was their first song that everybody hated. And they replaced it with everybody's favorite song, which was a little bit of a blow of the ego, by the way. But dude, I know I can do better than that. You know, I like these songs. It's just the same song over and over again. It's terrible. But Braun is amazing. I wouldn't mess with him.
Face heel. I guess it doesn't matter if you cut a guy in half there, right, George? Bron Breakker?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think there's no rush. Yeah, it is. First off, I do want to say that's so weird that Cameron Grimes kind of comes and go. I hope we see him a lot sooner than, you know, 3-4 months from now, from the last time that we saw him from today. I think he's got a lot of potential. I think he's got a lot of talent. We saw him, obviously, the best of him in NXT and even TNA when he was Trevor Lee. But with that said, I do think sky's the limit for Bron Breakker. We saw him pretty much do his thing. Like I said, no rush. We don't need to put a mid-card title on him anytime soon. Just let him do his thing, wreck havoc, and just create a path for him that really it has no limit.
This is a really dumb question because it really doesn't have much of an answer for it. But the draft is about 2.5 weeks away. If you're a Bron Breakker, do you stay on the blue brand, knowing that the red brand may be the flagship after the Netflix jump? If you're him, George.
Well, does he have a choice?
Yes, in this question, he does. Come on.
That's hard because I feel like with the new era, there needs to be some kind of separation of Raw and SmackDown. Obviously, the lines have been blurred a little bit this past week or two, for like the last month or two. But once it solidifies and it kind of stays true to what it was before, whether it's SmackDown being the wrestling show and Raw being, you know, the promo show, I think SmackDown's going to be the best fit for him just to kind of keep going with his momentum. He's not bad on the mic. But he's not known for somebody to be on the mic or for somebody to be good on the mic. So I just keep him on SmackDown.
Yeah, I'm with that. Rick Steiner will probably be mentioned in promos and packages. Matt, the idea of bringing back Rick Steiner sounds kind of far-fetched because he was kidnapped by Joe Gacy about a year and a half ago. But if you had if you had the power of the pen, would you bring him back?
Rick Steiner?
Yeah, his dad. But oh, no. Controversy aside. Oh,
no.
Okay.
No. No, can't do that. You know, he was, I forget the young lady's name who works for TNA.
Giselle.
And he was very offensive to her. And you know, people get forgiven and stuff, but I don't want him on the TV personally. I don't think anybody should hold that against Bron Breakker.
Absolutely. I'm just being that guy because I feel that way when Hogan's on the screen. Okay, got to move on in the interest of time. Our new women's champion, Bayley, walks down to the ring, and everyone chants for her again, as they I know that she would, because Bayley's my favorite wrestler in WWE, full stop. Well, until Sheamus comes back on Monday. Anyway, she is in her bag. She's feeling herself. She's saying, look, Io Sky with the challenge. She was my former friend. I put her down. I'm about to give this first championship opportunity to, oh my God, Tiffy time. And what happened was kind of funny because Bayley wasn't even thinking about Tiffany Stratton, was going to get the first championship opportunity to Naomi. Naomi, Tiffany Stratton had the match. And before this match even occurred, I had in my notes that Tiffany beat Naomi before, but tonight she had to feel the glow. George Hermosa, Tiffany Stratton, I thought was going to be the Bron Breakker of the women's division. But hey, there's nothing wrong with being somebody you have to sip on a banana peel every once in a while.
And also, too, like, she just started on the roster, like, 3 months ago. There is no need for her to rush into, like, such a quick title shot. We saw that with Lacey Evans back in 2019, and look how that turned out. But, I mean, the difference is Tiffany Stratton's, like, Lacey Evans, I loved her, but Tiffany Stratton is really a star, such a huge star that people can get behind of. But with that said, I thought this match was great. What we didn't see a couple weeks ago, because, you know, they went 40 minutes in the beginning of the opening segment. We were able to see here. And I think really I want to see more of them because they really brought out the best of each other. Obviously, Tiffany's a star. Naomi, we know, is just so good in everything that she does. And yeah, this was fun.
All right, Matt, I got a hot question for you. Now, Naomi Knight has been one of the most athletic.
It's women. Naomi Uso.
I mean, at the time, her original gimmick in NXT. I'm going somewhere with this. It was one of the most athletic individuals I've seen when NXT was a game show on Sci-Fi, I believe. And it seems that she's hit the mountaintop a couple times. And there's a huge following on the internet. But it always seems that there's a ceiling for Naomi. I don't want to mention that weird storyline she had with Sonya Deville a couple years ago, where Sonya was just mad for no apparent reason. New lease on life, a new version of Naomi. Can she really reach the promised land over an extended period of time?
You know, I don't think that might not be the plan, and that's okay. Like, I think she's going to slip into the Natalya role of someone who's the company gatekeeper, but also once in a while gets that pay-per-view match against the champion. You know, I think, but I have no objection to it. There's just so much star power. Like, who are you gonna throw her up over? Like, who's she gonna pass up to get there? It's a deep, deep roster. Tiffany Stratton, super talented. Super worried she was gonna have a accident tonight because that outfit was. It was brave, you know what I'm saying? Like, but at the same time, what she does, first of all, she's really young, like super young, like ridiculously stupid young. But at the same time, she hits with such impact and she sells. I don't use the word sell a lot because I think it's kind of douchey, but she reacts with such impact. She really is. She's a hard hitter, you know, and she gets it. And I think she's going places.
She's 24 of this recording, May 1st, 1999, which makes me feel
that's super young.
just putting it out there. But yeah, I feel like Tiffany is the ceiling for Tiffany, and she's probably a multi-time champion. But the quick loss today, relatively speaking, was kind of jarring for me. Elsewhere in the world of the Blue Brand, we get the first promo package of 8-Town Down Under, a team that I think we all chose were going to win the SmackDown titles. I said Austin Theory and Grayson Waller needed, and I can definitely feel that way now because after that, both the Street Profits and New Catch Republic have a bit of that side eye and screw face. George Hermosa, we'll get to this question also when we talk about the women's tag team division. It looks like tag teams are going to be a focus for now. I know it's a new era, but I've been burned plenty of times before about having tag teams, a tag team division, and it just going away into the ether. That said, can 8-Town Down Under really be the anchor for a new and thriving tag team division?
Yeah, 1,000%, especially since they're so entertaining with each other. I'm glad they kind of found each other because I feel like they kind of complement each other as far as what one guy has, the other guy may not have, and vice versa. And again, I picked this team to win because I thought that this was the absolute best option to have on SmackDown as far as being a tag team, being a heel tag team, and really being able to bring out the best of some of these babyface tag teams like a Street Profits, like a I always want to say No Quarter Catch Crew, but that's the one on NXT.
New Catch Republic?
New Catch Republic. And many, many more. I mean, I'd like to see maybe LWO get in the mix. I'd like to see.
They got to win nothing.
No, I mean, but
they never win.
If you want to see like a great tag team division, I always think back to like the Hearts and the Bulldogs where, you know, they were just there. They were just putting on some bangers. You have, you know, even like the Hearts and the Rockers, which I grew up on. Just kind of there. I remember there's one really cool image one time. Sorry, I'm flashback right now. It was the Hearts against the Rockers, and then Axe and Smash were watching like from the aisleway, and they're just watching, and then they get in the mix, and then you have like Demolition, Rockers, and the Hearts just kind of all fighting each other, and it's such a cool visual. And I'm like, this is what I miss about tag team wrestling. There's no reason why we can't have that, especially under the new era of Triple H, who by all means was probably a big tag team wrestling fan back in the day with the Rock and Roll Express, with Midnight Express, with the Brain Busters, and all those guys.
Matt, I guess I'm an old fogey, but I don't hate tag team wrestling, but I prefer
yes, you do.
I don't hate it. I'm gonna run around a question. I don't hate tag team wrestling, but it's an art form where I see the seams pretty often. The beat down one side, then the hot tag, and then the clearing out of the ring. But maybe I'm just jaded. This is actually a good question for you then, Matt. Like, is there a way that WWE can do a fresh interpretation of tag team wrestling where it's not AEW because that doesn't belong to them, but within their formula that can get people like me who are old fogies going bah humbug back into the game?
Well, it has to be done well, right? It has to be done well, and it has to be real tag teams. And you have to dedicate a lot of time to it because, like you said, especially if you're a little inside, you know, these tropes of the, you know, Dax always talked about the hope spot, you know, the hope spot and the heat and the hot tag and all this stuff. To get around all that stuff, you have to be really, really good. And I'm not sure WWE is committed to that. You know, Waller and Theory seem to be, the tag team seems to be like an incubator for them, you know, just like hold up here, get a little hot, get some more experience, and then we'll get you back when we want you. But, you know, for me, what tag team wrestling can be, you know, and of course bias, is what we saw with the Briscoes and FTR and what we saw with the Gold Club, the you know, Juice and Jay White and the FTR. Mm-hmm. That's what tag team wrestling can be, because they take those rules seriously and they work hard to get around them, and they use the tropes, but in creative ways that makes you watch the match.
I guess that's kind of more in practice, not theory, no pun intended. Logan Paul had a promo, but I'm going to skip ahead to the women's tag team match because we're on the same boat here. Chelsea Green and Private Niven won a bit of an opportunity, and they got one with Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. Now, if you guys have been watching the SmackDown After Show, and George definitely has, I have not been the greatest fan of putting Jade Cargill with Bianca Belair because I do feel the women's tag team division is the weakest division of all of WWE. Now, George, you're right. It looked different. It looked great. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair are specimens, plural. But who are you going to have? What are you going to take on after this? Talk to me about the match and what it means for women's tag team wrestling in the E right now.
I mean, it's a step in the right direction. I think we're seeing a lot of things that were broken before, at least get attempt to be fixed. They're putting a lot of power back to the wrestlers. Maybe obviously there's still a hierarchy when it comes to, you know, you still got to have people in charge. But I feel like, you know, we saw this about a year ago too, where they're really giving a chance to these people to get over. Right. It's not none of this like, oh, I don't feel like this person today, so I'm not going to give him TV time. Oh, I feel like this person should win. So, you know, I don't care what else is happening. We're shying away from that a lot. And we're seeing, you know what, you know, it was on the back burner before. So now let's really put a focus on some of these things that were broken before. And obviously the women's tag team division was one of those things. Mm-hmm. And by all means, we're seeing actual time being put in it. Obviously there's still a work in progress, but you know, we still have, you know, Katana and Kaden on the other brand. We're still seeing a lot of these things, and maybe even like an NXT influence at some point. So again, it's all baby steps. Okay. I don't expect to see the women's tag division to be the best division in all of pro wrestling anytime soon, but you know, at least they're giving it a shot.
Chelsea Green and Piper Niven are just a perfect team because Piper is a heavy, she hits hard. Chelsea Green complains a lot. They're kind of fun. But Matt, Jade Cargill, amazing. The Storm. I guess I had pictured her going on a run herself, similar to her AEW run. It looks like for now she's going to be a tag team division. This is a net benefit, you think?
Yes. There are a couple ways you go with this. You know, you get a little bit of a, you know, a run, you know, maybe tag titles for a second. Or like they say, or now they say the woman doesn't make the title, you know, the woman doesn't make the title. Yeah, the title makes, you know what I'm saying. Sorry, I just, George, let me push that one. But if you put those two front and center tag team champions and you make them a big deal, they are just amazing. They are striking. Put them microphones in front of them and press junkets, put them on the Today Show. They could be like the other thing. Like you could have like the guy and then you could have the woman and then you'd have the other thing that's on the posters. It could easily be those two if you went with them.
But riddle me this there, Matt. I think this is a very similar issue than seeing Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, that maybe these two characters are different. I'm not saying they are, but kind of similar. I mean, you got two powerhouses, the case of Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, the case of Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, kind of the young, arrogant, brash guys. Do I want some diversity? Am I just nitpicky for no reason?
I think we saw, I'm so sorry, for the press conference that these women cannot be any more different. So I think they work really well together.
But the move sites are very similar, no?
I guess, like, not really. Like, you know, you got, I mean, Bianca is like any female wrestler that's ever been on Earth, you know?
Sure.
I think that these two, man, they could really be a big deal if they do it. And you know, it's like putting Bianca in the incubator for a little bit because she's a top person, top person. And Jade might just need some time to get used to WWE land. But meanwhile, she's still a star. Let's have her do star things.
You're right. Absolutely right. Can't deny the star power of Jade. Even the entrance alone is worth the price of admission. But before we get to our main event, we had a bit of a gloat session from Logan Paul Levesque era. Okay. The United States Championship title was retained at WrestleMania. I do think it's a new chapter for them to see who's going to be in that division. But question I have for you, George, with LA Knight and eventually his opponent, which we'll get to in the main event, moving on, who do you think will be left to challenge Logan Paul in the U.S. title division?
I think I'm gonna go on a limb here. I think we're gonna see somebody from Raw come over and maybe challenge for that title. It can be pretty much anybody. I mean, I wouldn't mind kind of seeing him go up against like someone like a big guy, like a Bronson Reed or an Ivar. Kind of let's see how something like that would go. I mean, obviously he's facing a lot of these very agile guys or guys that, you know, aren't known for their work rate, kind of like a Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, Ricochet, all that jazz. I want to see him go out of his comfort zone. I want to see Logan Paul versus Omos.
Wow, that is definitely someone's comfort zone. Matt, do you have somebody lined up with Logan Paul? Have you got a chance to?
I'm for all that. You know, like, first of all, Omos, I truly believe, is there when they need him to be a big star. I totally believe in Omos. I think he's got the personality. He's got the look. He does everything you need to do in the ring, you know. But, yeah, I think I totally agree with what George was saying. Like, imagine Logan Paul with a bass. He's going to go crazy with a big guy like an Ivar or Bronson Reed. He's going to do stuff he's never been able to do before.
I am pro Bronson Reed on this chat here. Lee Budden says, what should be Trick Williams versus Logan Paul? Whoa, talking about the promos would be fire, man. Straight up with that. All right, well, let's get into our main event, the other field of the Triple Threat mini tournament to see who can possibly challenge Cody Rhodes at Backlash Francois. We have Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and AJ Styles. And Kevin Owens got the long walk into the ring with a dope new camera angle, but it was all for not. AJ Styles, fresh off a defeat from WrestleMania, gets, as they say in the indies, his heat back by pinning Rey Mysterio live on Friday night, which means AJ Styles will take on LA Knight to see who takes on Cody Rhodes later on. Now, Matt, we saw the match on Sunday, LA Knight, AJ Styles. Do you want to see the part two? And if so, what does that mean for LA Knight's chances of moving on?
Well, stakes are, stakes are fun. You know, we all know it's going to be AJ Styles. You know, it's probably not going to be LA Knight versus Cody. And like I said, I just wish it was a bigger deal and a bigger name, Solo, something, you know, that would shake things up. But meanwhile, this match, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and AJ Styles, dude, I'm looking at this match, I'm like, oh, these are three of the greatest of all time. Like, these are three of the greatest in-ring people ever. And I took a moment, just really enjoyed the match and really enjoyed what they did. Because, I mean, you look at that particular lineage of, like, work, you know, from Rey Mysterio to AJ to Kevin Owens. It's pretty amazing that we can watch three guys with that history and that ability in the ring at the same time.
I'm kind of disappointed because I would have put AJ and also one of the best theme songs of all time, but he would have changed it. Bah, humbug. George, welcome to this one, our main event tonight. Thoughts?
I thought it was great. I do want to backtrack a little bit. I thought the AJ Styles versus LA Knight match was so good at WrestleMania, but because there wasn't, as Matt said, there wasn't that many stakes involved in that Mania match, it's going to be a little bit forgotten. Because there was no title, it wasn't like a blood feud that was like culminating from like 9 months ago. But people don't, I don't think people are realizing just how great that match was. And I'm really excited for their matchup next week, because now we have stakes, and so I really think they're going to up their game. But I'm all in for Cody versus AJ Styles. I don't think we've seen that match. If we did, maybe it was like I really can't recall. I'm usually really good at this stuff because I know. Yeah. AJ came in, and then 5 months later, Cody was gone. So their paths never really mixed, on the indies. But man, like, I think they're really going to dive in something really, really cool with Cody versus AJ as the first big matchup for Cody.
Do you think the Japan gets a part of it? Sorry, Matt. Do you think that Japan, that whole Bullet Club thing gets to be part of the storytelling here?
Yes, yes.
All right, cool.
It's funny when you think about it, AJ and Cody passing the night in WWE a few years ago, like, AJ literally stole the glove thing, right? He stole the glove thing. You know, Cody wasn't going to keep doing the glove thing if AJ was doing it. So I don't think they wrestled. So it's kind of cool to see. Like I said, I wish it was a bigger deal. But if you involve the Bullet Club, if you involve some of the history, and also, I don't like to say this, but like sometimes it seems like a motivated AJ Styles is different than a kind of in the pocket AJ Styles, and he seemed like a motivated AJ Styles tonight. So maybe we'll see some great stuff because we've had some stinkers of matches with AJ Styles, you know, like Kevin Owens and a couple others at pay-per-views. So hopefully it's not the case.
It's crazy because going, I kind of adding on what Matt's saying, on paper, Ricochet versus AJ Styles should have been like a phenomenal match from like SummerSlam a few years ago. AJ versus Owens Edge. From like something like 2017 should have been like a jaw dropping match.
I was
and it just whatever it was, it's crazy. Like even like I know it's going to be like on a limb here, but like everybody thought that is their match with his match with Nakamura from WrestleMania was going to rival their match from Wrestle Kingdom, but it just wasn't. There was just something that was a little bit off.
That was a different low blow situation.
It wasn't a bad match. But I just think a lot of, you know, obviously comparison is a thief of joy. But, you know, we just all kind of had some certain expectations.
All right, Instagram influencer George.
That's right.
Listen, I'm with it.
Yeah, but like Matt said, I mean, I feel like AJ maybe kind of knows that he's maybe a little bit in on the older side now. So he's going to pace himself a lot more. So knowing that he's kind of got certain matches left, I think he is going to at least make a solid effort, and not that he needs my approval, but I think we're going to see some real special with AJ Styles coming up.
No, I need your approval.
You know, he also looks like he's eating quite well, AJ. Like he looks like he must be. I don't know what he's doing to his diet, but he's put on like 70 pounds. So I think he's doing something.
All right, we gotta pump the brakes here, cause we're just assuming that AJ wins next week. He has to go through LA Knight, and
he's gonna win. You want to make a bet?
I'm trying to set up a question here, George. Go with the gimmick. I'm just saying, you know, LA Knight is the closest thing we have to a common people's champion. Everyone loves it. Everyone says, yeah, like we say, we woo at things. And LA Knight has been so close, but every time he gets close to being near a championship, it's kind of put aside because there's an expectation of going, oh, he has that groundswell. You don't worry about him. Now, I wonder, can that still hold through another passing of him not going to the promised land if he doesn't beat AJ Styles next week? That's what that meant.
Well, I honestly, I've never really gotten LA Knight. Like, yeah, I don't really get it.
What do you mean you don't get it?
For me, I don't see, look at George. I don't see what others see in him, but I do see that people see in him, you know? When I see him in the ring, when I see him in the, you know, on the microphone, it seems he's a little less than. You know, than what he's presented as. So I don't get it, but I'm saying just because I don't get it doesn't mean it's not there because everybody else sees it. So, you know, I think the fans will continue to like him. They certainly were big for him tonight.
What do you mean you don't get it? Like you think he's not loud? He's not funny? He doesn't have hard-hitting moves?
Yeah,
he has terrible hair? What? What do you mean?
Yeah, I think so. He's just like everything, like his, you know, his wrestling's not really particularly exciting or you know, innovative. You know, his character, I've seen it, you know, not too much original there. I want to be moved by it. I want a character like that. It just doesn't do it for me. Maybe it's because I just seen too much.
Whoa. Just spitting hot flames in the booth. George, tell me you disagree.
He needs to bring back that, I forgot what it was called, the segment. Button? The dummy button. The dummy. Yeah.
Dummy.
Yeah. Like that was class. That was Eli Drake, LA Knight at his absolute best. Obviously, you can't really do that because he's not a baby. He's not a heel. So
yeah,
maybe at
a
some
star,
point, maybe.
George, you can't move people.
But I mean, maybe at some point when he is a heel, and he'll bring back the dummy. Yeah. Yeah, but I get it. I know a lot, and he's got a lot of criticism in the past from sounding too Austin-y, sounding too Rocky. You know, nobody said that about Hogan when he was mimicking Superstar Billy Graham. But you know, it is what it is. He's making it into his own.
This LA Knight slander needs to stop. Here is
I'm on board. I'm a Knighter.
Yeah, you're on board, but you're like you're calling shots from the passenger seat.
I mean, I want to ride on the LA Knight train. You can even call me a Knight Rider.
I hate dad jokes, but you have a kid, so you get a pass.
He's laughing.
I do think if you were going to put bets on wrestling, you shouldn't, because really that's not a good idea. I do think AJ has a favorable chance of winning next week, but I do think that you can't keep somebody who's naturally hot on the side for too long until we start not believing them anymore. So I'm kind of torn. Well, that happens maybe in a U.S. title run.
Maybe he's going to be up next. Maybe he's going to be the one that challenges Logan Paul in response to your earlier question coming up after Logan Paul defeats Omos and Ivar and Bronson Reed in a 4-4-way.
Yeah.
Here comes LA Knight.
Well, I want to say a story that's going to date myself, but I'm among friends here who are a certain age. When I was a kid, the big three for me, the big wrestling fans for me, stars for me, were Razor Ramon, not Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, Duke the Dumpster Drozzi, because he was so strong. He picked up trash of the week and wrestled the weekends. I mean, wow. And Tatanka. And I like Tatanka for two reasons. One, he had that whole win streak thing. So you watch on Saturdays, he always won his match. But when my dad came to this country in the 1970s, his guy was Chief J Strongbow. So we had that connection there because there were, well, I won't say Native American because Chief J Strongbow wasn't Native American, but you get what I'm saying here. I think there's a lot of things about LA Knight that are kind of throwbacks to the Attitude Era, but that was 25 years ago, man. The kids love him. I was at Elimination Chamber. All the Australian wrestlers aside, the most popular wrestler with the gear with the kids was LA Knight. And we could say, yeah, in the crowd, which I think is like more than half the struggle. But I know. I'm just being out there. Oh, there it is. That's the guy. Yeah.
I mean, if you get the kids, you get the audience. I just have a question, though. Like, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, like, mm-hmm. Did you believe when you were a kid that he was a garbage man?
Absolutely. Like,
okay. He was a garbage man who also wrestled where his gimmick was a garbage man?
Absolutely. Came right from work. He came right from work, put the trash can aside, and beat people up. That's all I needed, man.
So he gets off work, showers, changes into new clothes that are exactly the same.
Exactly.
Wrestles.
Yep.
It's like,
so you agree?
Yeah, I gotta tell you. Yeah, that's just amazing. It's amazing to me. Yeah.
There's no flaws of logic there.
Did you know that Duke the Dumpster Drosy has a victory over Triple H?
As he should. He's a legend.
Yeah. A little brief trivia, because that's what in I know life. For. a little trivia. Remember the free for all?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
The free for all. It was the very first free for all. Was Royal Rumble '96. And they had a match with Duke the Dumpster Drosy and Triple H, where the winner is number 30 and the loser is number 1. And Duke Drosy won that match. For a little, all you trivia buffs out there.
I like
The winner goes into obsolescence and the loser takes over wrestling.
Well, I guess who did win that one? I do think if you're in the chat right now watching this, there's always, or even if you're watching this afterwards, let us know that first wrestler that you were all into. And it may be as cringe as heck, but it definitely matters because Duke Drosy was the strongest man in the roster, man. He had a trash can over his shoulder like it was nothing. I mean, come on. Like, that guy was amazing.
His job.
I mean, yes, it was. It totally was. So he did it well.
He was good at it. He had lots of practice.
So how to make ends meet, though.
He trained 8 hours a day from 9 to 5.
I wonder if like any like, because I was like a kid when it happened, but like IRS, I wonder if anybody that like, you know, is still real to me, damn it, was like, when I grew up, I want to have IRS do my taxes.
I did. I thought Rick Martel was a model. I thought everything, man. I was so gullible, man. The Boogeyman was actually, because that story was that he was on a TV show that got canceled early. So I thought he was an actor that wrestled. It was just.
You think that's crazy? I thought Hulk Hogan was a good person.
We all did.
although just to kind of throw it out there,
don't apologize.
Just because I throw it out there, like I'm old, but I didn't know till like 2-3 years ago that Ivan Koloff was not really Russian.
Oh wow!
He's South Carolina, I think.
Yeah,
he's got he's got a Southern accent. He kind of we went to a meet and greet with him, and he was so nice. And I was like, "Oh, you're so nice." And my son's like, "You're not like what I saw on TV." And he turned into Ivan Koloff and cut a promo on my 10-year-old kid. It was amazing. Yeah, he's got a Southern accent.
See, if I hire Boost and Starman, let's go. Yeah, they get arrogance.
The spray has a name.
Hey, wrestling's for everybody. All right.
That's former AWA World Heavyweight Champion, Rick Martel.
Absolutely. But the model, man. The model.
Freaking Vince.
We're at the hour. Thanks so much for rocking with us as the first SmackDown. Post-WrestleMania, of course, new chapter, Paul Levesque era. They pretty much beat you over the head with it, but I'm okay with it. We'll be back here on Monday for the Triple J. But Matt Coon, man, you do a lot of things. If someone wants to hang out with you, connect with you, just book you for something. How'd it go about doing that?
Just go to @MattCoonMusic on Twitter. I'm available to do stuff, but I also have a job. So either way is fine.
Wow. Shout out to G-Nails. The tan heavy thing. Hulk Hogan was black. I felt the same way about Horace. George Hermosa. You can find you online.
You can find me at G-Hermosa, G-H-E-R-M-O-Z-A on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, MySpace, all the above. You can follow my wrestling channel on YouTube, The Wrestling Chatter. I got the TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all that jazz, TW Chatter. I'm putting up some short clips of my interview with Victoria from a few years ago. So a lot of cool things. I'm going to be putting up a lot of other short clips, you know, maybe from interviews with, I got interviewed with Scotty Riggs, with Vampiro, with Al Snow, Eric Bischoff, Barry Horowitz, Jacques Rougeau, just to name a few.
The guy's on fire. Got a big shout out to J.R. Smith with the super chat. Great job, you guys. Enjoy the weekend. No, enjoy your weekend. Issa will be back next week after her week of mourning on the NXT show. And Glenn was going to be back next week on the SmackDown after show. But until then, peace out, y'all, from Wake.